Today is Saturday, the 15th of June, 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 136th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English medium, conducted by Nisarnamane Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Sister Rohini appearing in today's session, taking part to provide us with the much-needed and much-valued insight on our practice. Furthermore, I would like to welcome Venerable Manu to today's sessions, to today's session, and I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also over the live stream over Facebook. We have today we have some special attendants who are attending from the Mindfulness for Teens program in the UK, and I would like to welcome all of you for your first program in Mindfulness for Beginners. I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence the proceedings with guided in-session practice. Over to Manu.
Thank you, Namante. Everyone, we are going to practice today one of the formal way of practicing mindfulness. So, mindful walking, as last week, you all have practiced mindful sitting. I think so. Okay, so the mindful walk is one of the formal way of practicing mindfulness. So today our topic is also about the mindfulness. Before we get into the mindfulness, the topic, the talk, we can practice mindful walk. So today I am going to ask you all to find a path where you can walk without any disturbances like furniture or anything else. So there is, if you can walk without any disturbance, that is good. Otherwise, if you can find a natural path or earth to walk on, that is the best. But right now, wherever you can walk without any disturbances, so we will find that as a walking path. So when you choose a walking path, what you need to do, you need to stand in one corner, one end of the path, wherever you choose. And usually I say, stand on end of the path, and then you can close your eyes for a minute or so. Once you close your eyes, so your seeing or sight is now closed. Only your ears are open for sounds and your mind is open for thoughts. And while you are standing, you can observe the standing posture. The feelings are there. The bodily feelings are there. So what you need to do, you can observe the posture, the standing posture. So while you are closing your eyes, so it is easy for you to take your mind, the wandering mind, into your body. So what you need to do, I'm pretty sure that your mind will wander with many, many thoughts. And if there's any sounds, it will go with the sound. But think in this way, your job right now is to keep your mind with your body, bodily feelings. So right now what you feel is not walking, but you are standing. So you might feel that your body weight is on your feet. You might feel the surface where you are standing on. So sometimes you might feel your back, the straight line. Or you might feel the clothes touching your body. So like that, when you are standing in the end of the chosen path, you can observe like that. So once you start to observe, you might feel that many, many feelings are there without our notice. without any, and we didn't, before that we may, might not understand these feelings are there. So once you notice those feelings, so you can stay with those feelings for a minute or so, and then you can start to walk. So walking speed is depend on your mood, maybe completely depend on you. So whenever the speed, your body recognize, it will recognize the perfect speed right now. So whatever the speed body says, you can continue with that speed. So while you are walking, you can observe your walking body, the bodily feeling that generate with the walk. So while you are walking also, you might hear sounds. If your mind goes with the sound, don't worry. The worrying is the worst thing you can do when you are practicing mindfulness. So not to worry, but as soon as you notice that your mind is with the sound, then you can bring your mind back to the body. If you are comfortable with the sound, so if you feel that you can be mindful with the sound, that's also okay. So if there's any thoughts shifting your mind from the body, so that might not okay. But the thing is, if you can feel comfortable with that also, don't worry. So you can observe your mind, what kind of thoughts, feelings are there. But if you are not comfortable with that, then you can bring your mind back to the bodily movements. So saying that, we will practice for 15 minutes, I think, for mindful walk. And we'll be back in 15 minutes time. Okay, everyone. I hope everyone had a good walking, mindful walk. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you, Venerable Manu, and much merits to you. Next up, we have the talk on mindfulness based on the topic for today. And the topic today is again mindfulness. So I would share the screen for the flyer, and I would like to invite Venerable Manu again to commence with the talk. Over to Manu again. Thank you.
Okay. When you sip tea, be the tea. When you walk, be the path. That is mindfulness. It's our topic. Thank you, Namantha. First, I would like to start the talk with a quote. That quote was written by Alice Moss Earle. So she says, "Yesterday is a history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That is why it is called present." So that is a very interesting quote I found. Yesterday is a history. We all know that. We can't take it back. Whatever happened, or whatever we say, or whatever happened, yes, those are gone past, means it is a history. We can't change it. Being a frustration upon the history is not worthy. Tomorrow is a mystery. We don't know, but we wish things. We hope things to happen. We ask many things, but still it is a mystery. Whether it can happen or not, we don't know. So it is a mystery. Today is a gift. So right now we are living. So she says that is why it is called present. So it is a gift. That is why it calls present by Alice Moss Earle. So she is the one who is saying that. So when I see this quote, I thought in further consideration, if we consider more or a little further, the previous moment we just passed is like yesterday. That just a split second ago, we passed a moment that is kind of yesterday. It has gone to the past. So it is a history now. We can't take it back. And the next moment, it is still not happened. Still, we are waiting for the next moment. Is like tomorrow. It is future. So it is still not happened, and we don't know what will next. So what will happen, we don't know. So in saying that, the Alice Moss Earle's quote, yesterday is a history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. So we can apply it to right now in this very moment. So the moment we pass right now, a split second ago, we passed that moment, that is went to the history. We can't change it. And the next moment, it is in future. We don't know what will happen. But for most of us, if we are mindful, if we are focusing on very this moment, that is happening. What is happening is right now, whatever happened. So in this very moment is a gift. So whether we are going to pass it without doing any profitable things, any advantage, taking any advantage of that very moment, it is up to us. So if we are very keen on that very moment, right now, what we are doing, or what we are saying, or what we are listening, whatever we feel, so if we are responsible for this very moment, We don't need to be having any frustration about the past, about the what has gone right just before, or we don't need to think about the next very moment and having any delusions or any thoughts about what will happen if the word is if is coming in that way. So if we don't need to use if or then, we are in a happy mood. So this is what, in simple way, the mindfulness. So what we are going to do, we are focusing on or we pay attention to what we are doing in a particular way. What we are doing means anything. Maybe we are doing any day-to-day activities. Yeah, maybe brushing teeth or eating, or in the office we are doing some office work, or in the playground as a student maybe we are playing, or in the bus stop waiting for a bus. No, it's this very moment is right here. So what we need to do, we need to enjoy this very moment. If you need to enjoy this very moment, we need to pay attention to this very moment. Whatever we do, we need to pay full attention, 100% attention, in a skillful way. In a skillful way. I am saying the inner or outer world. The world is inside us, we have a world. Within us, we have a world. Our thoughts are in inside world. We think about many things. We predict about many things. So these are inner world. And outer world means we see things, we hear things from outside. We grasp many things from our sensual objects, like eyes, ears, the tangible feelings from our skin. So likewise, if we can focus our mind, or if we can pay attention to the whatever happened right now in a skillful way, using our 100% attention to the work we are doing right now, we can call we are mindful. So it in a way, that is the one way of explaining or one way of defining the mindfulness. So saying that, how we need to practice, and I am going to talk how we need to practice and what is happening when we are practicing and what is the outcome of practice. So those are the things I am going to talk. So in first thing I want to talk is how to practice. So just before we practice for 15 minutes or so, mindful walk. That mindful walk, while we are practicing, we get many, many experiences. How we feel and how we, while we are walking, what has happened within the body, what was happening to this body with the outside world. So those are we can observe if we pay attention in a skillful way. So while we are doing mindful walk, that is what we experience. How we respond to outside world and how we respond to inner world. So especially when we do mindful walk or mindful sitting, that those two are usually we prescribe, or we usually say best for the beginners, because it is a formal way of practicing mindfulness. Because when you want to practice mindfulness with thoughts or feelings, that is a little bit hard, because thoughts and feelings are very random, and also it is for rapid. These are come and go. Those thoughts and feelings are come and go without noticing. We can't notice it as a beginner. So For a beginner, what we say, mindful walk or mindful sitting is the best. Why? Because it always focuses on your body. The body is very receptive, or the body can take many things from outer world, but still that bodily feelings you can catch, you can call. When you hear sound, you can hear it, and that is to your body. Your ears are your body, so you can hear them. It is not like thoughts. It is not like feelings. The thoughts and feelings are in the mind, qualities of mind, or part of mind. So those are very hard to catch. But your bodily feeling, the voice or sound, or when you eat mindfully, how you feel the texture of the food, how you smell it, and how when you touch the grossness or the softness, all those are very tangible. You can feel them. So those are very easy to focus on. So that's why we use formal way of mindfulness for a beginners. So what we are usually use is mindful sitting and mindful walking. Not only that, we can use mindful day-to-day activities also, like before I said, the brushing teeth, eating food, having bath, or while you are in a bus, you are sitting in the bus, so you are sitting, so you can observe your bodily feelings while you are sitting in the bus. When the bus is turning and you feel it's your body is also moving, so likewise it is so easy to focus on bodily feelings. So that is why we are using that mindful walk and mindful sitting and mindful day-to-day activities as a beginners to focus on. Then I would like to talk about what is happening while you are practicing mindfulness. So that is what I need to say. We usually in one time frame, as a person, anyone, we can't in the past and the future, or past and the present, in right now, in a very moment of time, we are only using a one time frame. If we are in the past, we are in the past. If we are dreaming of about the future, then we are in future. But when you are mindful, you are in a present moment. So, what is happening in the present moment? For example, it's a very famous example I am taking here. If you see something across the road while you are walking in a wildlife or a forest, just imagine you are walking in a forest or on a footpath or somewhere rural. So you can see something across the road. It is look like a stick maybe. So, but what is happening when you see that? It is very important. This will help you to understand what is happening while you are practicing mindfulness. For this example, when you are walking, then you see in front of you, there is a stick or something in front of you across the road. So you need to understand that whether it is a snake or something unharmful. So in here, when you see what is happening in a few tenths of second, very tiny time it takes, your hippocampus and prefrontal cortex in your brain, there's two parts called, one is hippocampus, that is the part who's responsible for taking decisions mainly, and the prefrontal cortex, that is a part, is a powerful part, usually relating to informations you are collected and you are stored in your mind, So the prefrontal cortex is the one it is using. The hippocampus is using usually whatever that happened right now. So it is a very like a AI. So if we give something to AI, artificial intelligence, that whatever we given as a word, that take as the input. Here also hippocampus, what hippocampus is doing, that part take outer input as inputs. It is not usually, it is not usually recognized, or it is not usually use the information stored in our mind, usually. So in our example, when the person see that a stick or something in front of you is across the road, the hippocampus work fast and evaluate possible threat or the opportunities. So the hippocampus, what hippocampus does, it evaluated the very, very suddenly. It is not taking any information from the mind. So it is taking only that whatever the input taken from our eyes or ears and trying to evaluate possible threat, the opportunities. Then what happened, the amygdala, that is the part we call the beast mind or the what is called, beast mind. So that hippocampus evaluate the threat and communicate with amygdala, and amygdala is the one taking all the feeling tones, if it is a pleasant feeling or the unpleasant feeling or the neutral feeling. So whatever happened, when the amygdala feel like it is a threat or it is a unpleasant feeling, if it is an unpleasant feeling, the amygdala spread out throughout the brain, this is what is happening, this is what happened to the person who is experiencing this. So because of this amygdala's work, usually amygdala says, hey, run or fight. So what I am talking, whatever the experience we are taking right now, from eyes or ears or tangible feelings or anything, usually in a very little time frame, the hippocampus work, and the hippocampus amygdala work, and spread throughout the brain saying it is an unpleasant feeling. So accordingly, we either react or respond or run or fight. In the meantime, this is happening. In the meantime, prefrontal cortex, that is in the front of your forehead, that part is very powerful, as I said before, and it's slow process. It's slow process. What is happening in that PFC, the prefrontal cortex, it use long-term informations and analyze it and says, okay, it is not a snake and it is only a stick. So this is what happened whenever something we notice, whenever something we see or hear, or whenever something we feel, or whenever something we think. So this is what happened. So while we are being practice mindfulness, this is going, this process is not working like this. What is happened when we focus on mindfulness, or when we focus on what is happening right now? So that means we are in a present moment. That means we always encourage prefrontal cortex to work on. We are not encouraging hippocampus or amygdala, especially the amygdala. is not encouraging to work on. So what is happening, most of the time prefrontal cortex and hippocampus working together and wiring again and again. The connection is happening again and again while we are focusing on a breath or something what we are doing right now. When we do that, the reconnection or the wiring is happening the same way again and again. What we are doing, we are focusing on the same thing and we are taking back our mind whenever the distraction happened. So we know if the distraction is happened and we bring back our mind to the mindful walk, for example. If we are doing mindful sitting, so if the distraction happened, then when the distraction happened, our mind goes with that, with the sound or with the thoughts. Then whenever we notice that, we bring our mind back to the normal procedure, normal object. So when that happens, that is inside the brain, prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus are rewiring again and again, strengthening the procedure. When that happens, amygdala is reducing, shrinking. So this is what we are encouraging by being mindful. So that is one thing. The another thing is, when we are not mindful, we take very fraction of knowledge or input from outside world. For example, we saw a stick across the road or beside the road. Something we saw. So that is the only fact or input we took from the outside. Then rest come from internal memory. So these internal memories are like a mini clips or mini movies. So these are running all the time in background. In our mind. We call it background thoughts. These thoughts are always running in the background. Whenever whatever happened or whenever whatever we take as an input from outside, those background thoughts involve with this input and make many, many manifestations or make many perceptions using that background thoughts. For example, if someone is trained to be an anger person, so that person is always get angry with something. Get angry with whatever they see, whatever happen, or first little things, that person get angry. So that person's background thoughts are mostly related to those anger. So whenever something happens, those background thoughts are interrelated with the outer world input. You saw something and your background thoughts are usually run with the, okay, the like always doubtful thoughts, always scary thoughts are there. When that happens, the sticks are there. Sticks or something is in front of you. It's not moving, but it's still in there. What has happened? Your background thoughts involved with that and say, okay, that may be harmful. That may be harmful. That fiery feeling is there. With the fiery feeling, the amygdala will work. What we are doing, because of we are doing mindfulness practice, so we used our mind or we train our mind to focus on one thing again and again. Because of this focus of one thing again and again, the background thoughts are not like before. So always, if you are not mindful, your background thoughts are very scrambled. I mean like a scrambled eggs. So it is all, you know, that mini clips are going here and there every time it is passing, moving from past experience to the future. Usually those clips are related to our beliefs. Or if this happened, what will happen? Or if I say something, what will happen? That person, how that person might think about me. You know, all those assumptions, beliefs are there with the background thoughts. Those background thoughts are the one who always make us suffer. Because those background thoughts are thoughts just are floating. But we always think it is like my thoughts. So what we are practicing, how, because of the practice of mindfulness, that background thoughts, we clear those thoughts without any anxiety or without fearful thoughts and without any doubtful thoughts, especially negative thoughts. These negative clips, if the negative clips are running most of the time in background, we always tend to have sadness or sufferings most of the time. So usually what happened to us is that. Because if you take a day, for example, from morning to night, there are many, many things, good things happen to us. But mostly we think or mostly we remember about the bad things. Only maybe for a whole day, only one thing went bad. But usually we remember it out of many good things. Why? Because our background thoughts are running, especially the negative thoughts are running always. It's in there's a book called Buddha's Brain, as I remember. And that book says that if we have positive things, or positive feelings or positive thoughts, those thoughts are like, you know, that when we have a leaky tap, we seal it with the tape. So the positive thoughts, when there is a positive thoughts in our mind, we seal it. We keep it. We don't use it again and again. We seal it. Mostly what we do is that. But if we have experiencing negative thoughts, it is like a Velcro. You know, Velcro, you stick very, very hardly stick together. So it is like a Velcro. The negative thoughts behave with the mind like a Velcro. It all stick to the mind and again and again play mini clips in background. Those mini clips are especially, as I said before, is those are beliefs or negative biased thoughts. Because of that, we always are facing the sufferings. Because again and again, these mini clips are playing and rewiring these connections. Because of the rewiring, the brain connections are getting strength, more and more strengthening. So when we practice mindfulness, what has happened, those negative thoughts, we like, you know, when you focus on one thing or when you focus on whatever you do most of the time, so that is we call mindfulness. Whenever we focus on right now, what is happening or what we are doing, or what we are thinking, that negative bias thoughts, we are not allowed to have that negative bias thoughts in background. So when we reduce little by little this negative bias thoughts in background, then we become more and more positive thinking person, like empathetic person. So you know who you are. While that, especially when you practice mindfulness, you become awareness about you. So when you know who you are, it is very easy to handle yourself. It is very easy to manage your thoughts. So it comes with the mindfulness practice actually. So with that mindfulness practice, that negative mini clips, we reduce. Negative mini clips that are running behind your back or background thoughts. When we reduce those things, we have that empathetic view, because we are not biasly, or we are not using most of the negative thoughts, and there are no many negative thoughts as well. So when we don't have negative thoughts behind our background thoughts as background thoughts, we are looking at others with the empathetic view, because you know your mind is very free, or your mind has a space to absorb many other things. You have empty your mind, kind of emptiness is there, and you can absorb something else instead. So being mindful that the awareness is there, after awareness, when you develop that awareness, you can have that negative bias thoughts, or replace with the positive bias thoughts, or replace with the neutral thoughts, because you are not doing it purposefully. While you are doing mindfulness practice, you naturally become a thoughtful person, or the positive bias or positive thinking person. And that, how do you call? When you have that kind of attitude, or when you have that kind of mindset, you don't overlook your good thoughts. No, for the whole day, you will not going after or highlighting your bad news, or highlighting anything happen in a bad way. So instead, you will encourage your mind to, happy about your good news, or happy about what has happened as a good thing. And it will not allow your mind to create anxiety or pessimism. So what we need to do as a mindfulness practitioner, we need to practice unjudgmental way, and need to practice every day. Or if it is not practicing every day, the mindfulness is a powerful, not going to be a powerful tool. If you are practicing regularly, you can cultivate a sense of inner peace and presence and clarity. So take some time each day to be present, be mindful, and experience the benefit of that mindfulness and bring to your life. So in that way, you can have a positive energy within you, and positive feelings within you, and positive feelings towards the other people as well. So thank you for listening. Over to you, Namata.
Thank you, Venerable Menu. Thank you, and much merits for a wonderful explanation on the topic of mindfulness today. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I will share the screen for the poster for the beginner's introduction.
Thank you, Namanta. And I'm so glad that there are some young people joining us today as well. We have some reports received from young people as well. So that is really good. Before we start, go on to it, I will quickly run through the beginner's guide to mindfulness. And I'm sure most of you are very well aware of it, as we practice today to practice mindful walking and mindful sitting. The two videos here, the links are on this site, and we will share it on the chat as well. They are for people who would like to start doing this, as we did today, mindful walking, as we practiced today, and as Venerable Rohini explained to us. Start walking with any amount of time, actually, and then slowly build it up to an hour or 2 hours. And then go on to practice mindful sitting. And once you have done these two, watch the videos, set aside time, start your own practice. When you have practiced on your own, we would like to hear what your experiences are in the two practices. And if you'd like to write them down and your own experience in your own word, what you felt, it would be great to hear from you. And we will hear, we are here to receive the reports via Google form. The link is here and we will share it with you as well. And via email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. Send it to us via any of these methods. And we will then present it to the Venerable who is hosting the program today, or the usually it's Bhante Dhammakusala. And we will get their feedback and you can progress in your practice. And you can also listen to other recordings on this link. We will share all these details on the chat as well. Now we will move on to the reports that have been received and after that go on to some questions. We have received three reports today. And the first report is received via the Satipasala of our teen program, I think, and is from a child. Walking meditation report. Today I did walking meditation for 45 minutes. When I did my meditation today, I noticed a variety of differences between my left and right foot. Firstly, I lifted my right foot higher than my left foot. Also, I pushed harder with left foot as opposed to my right. I also noticed a pain in my stomach about halfway through my meditation. I found it easier to concentrate nearer to the end of my meditation. That is the end of the report, Venerable Rohini.
Okay, Sonali. Yeah, I think it is a newcomer. Good. Thank you for sending us the report.
It is a 12-year-old child, Venerable Rohini.
Okay, yeah. Mm. So it is good, a 45 minutes walk. It's very encouraging for all the beginners, I think. And in here, he or she says difference, the face or feel the difference between left and right foot. So we have a lot of things that we are not noticed before, but we can notice while we are practicing mindfulness. That is only not only limited to the bodily actions or bodily feelings, also the mental feelings as well. So most of the feelings, the emotional or the bodily feelings, we don't know because we are, our attention is not right there. When we put attention in a right way, in a formal way or in a skillful way, we recognize many, many differences as well as many, many similarities within us. Those are, one can may ask, what is the reason? What is the purpose of watching those things? So what is the purpose of learning those things? So the answer is, when there is nothing you will get from the learning that your left foot is different from right foot. But what you learn is you train your mind to focus on one thing. That is the learning we get, or that is the skill we initiate or rewire this skill being mindful, after being mindful. Because there is no gain when you see that left foot is different from the right foot. That is not something that you will gain from that knowledge. But when you focus on left foot and the right foot in the right way, your attention is there and you are rewiring the same thing again and again without doing any other without letting your attention to drawback or without letting your attention to shift away from your bodily actions. So being that, what has happened, you are being mindful, more and more mindful, and you are rewiring your brain to focus on the same thing again and again. That means your attention span is expanding and you can focus on one thing for a long. That is what you are gaining. So by doing this 45 minutes mindful walk, and when you see these differences, so that means you are so mindful and you see those differences because of your mindfulness, the deep mindfulness. And because of that mindfulness, you gain the many other advantages within your brain structure as well as your mind, increasing your attention spans and focusing limits and all sort of things, you expand. So thank you for sending us that report.
Thank you, Manu. I will move on to the next report because we have two more reports to get through. This is sent by an adult. Sitting meditation. In a retreat situation, watch breath as primary object. Breath disappeared in short time and reappeared. Noted mind taking pain as object, watching its changing nature. Position and then going back to breath spontaneously. Thoughts, sounds, images, not distracting. Mind calm and peaceful. Walking meditation. Walked on grass in shoes, noting the uneven surface of the ground and different temperatures in each foot. Observed weight shifting onto the parts of each foot and the lifting, moving and placing movements. Noted coolness on parts of body and warmer parts when the sun came out. Thoughts occasionally disturbing, but mind returned to feed spontaneously. Walked for 40 minutes. Daily mindfulness. A comment by a family member created unwholesome thoughts and actions to arise in the form of harsh speech. Even during expressing the words, the watchful mind was aware that this was affecting the samsara negativity and there would be an unwholesome result from this. Noted the increased heartbeat, the mental exhaustion from it, the hunger and thirst, noting it as possible contributory cause to the unhelpful reaction, but not an excuse. After sleeping it off, reflected on the fact that yet again the clinging to the sense of I was root cause, and had there been more alertness and mindfulness, the comments could have been thought of and just a sound, the severe unhelpful reaction may have been avoided. In contrast, a close family member was unwell, needing help and being assessed in hospital. The mind was very calm, recognizing illness as part of being born, or dukkha, that it too could pass as impermanence, noted the non-self nature, how there is no control over what happened in each of the bodies or the minds, and looked after the ill child whilst watching the mind, but not getting emotional or upset, although sad for the child and parents, recognizing they have to carry their own karma. Equanimity in mind when condition improved, recognizing illness could rise again. Mind aware of the peace, despite difficulties when actions and thoughts followed, and seen through the eyes of Dhamma. Dharma Ascharya. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. That's the end of report, Manu. Manu, I think you are muted.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Sarali. Yeah, it is an interesting report, actually, because it's a real situation, explaining the real situation. Although we are practicing, sometimes we miss our mindfulness. Sometimes we can't bear the situation. And we can't put our mindfulness into the situation. These things can happen. Even for the experienced practitioner, also that can be happen. Because we are not, how do you call it? We are not practiced enough to put our mindfulness in a tragic situation. Especially when someone is having something unwholesome. So unwholesome means there are many, either conceit is in front of this situation or the ego most of the time. So when the ego or the conceit is in front of you, without knowing, maybe after 5-10 minutes time, you will recognize it. My ego is the one who is come in front of me, and all the things has happened because of my ego and so on. But at the right moment, we are not capable of recognizing it. That can happen. So in this report, it recognize it in a later time. That is good also. And that recognition is also came forward because of the mindfulness practice. Otherwise, you will not recognize it. You will suffer longer than the practitioner. Without a practice, that person will suffer more and more longer and can't, or without realizing what has happened, or without developing the empathy towards the other person. So this thing can happen, but we need to be mindful more and more. We need to, when some people say, okay, when you get ordained, or when you are a monk or nun, it's a fine, you know, you don't have any things to deal with, then it is easy. Most people think in that way, and most people ask us also the same question, you know, that might be easy for you to practice because you are in a secluded place and secluded environment. But saying that, what I am saying, for this person, this experience will never come if you are get ordained, probably. Then how can you recognize your unwholesome deeds or unwholesome thoughts? How can you recognize your ego or conceit, or the hatred feelings or delusion, whatever the defilements is there? You need to understand them there. You need to understand who you are consist of those things. Your thoughts are consist of those things. So if you need to understand, you need to face this kind of situation. This is the reality. So if you can't face to the reality, then you can't recognize your unwholesome deeds or the wholesome deeds or what is happening inside you with the outer input. So if you need to understand your inside thoughts or feelings with the outer inputs, you need to be mindful, of course. And you need to face this situation. Until you face this situation, you might think that I am okay and I am so mindful and I have no any grudges or any bad feelings or negative thoughts. Until you get this kind of experience. For example, our Loku Swaminathan says, maybe you all heard this story. One of the very famous Swaminathan monk from a different Aranya. So he thought that he never had hatred feelings for 7 years or so. But he has to face through an operation. And after operation, he felt thirsty. And he asked some water, and the nurse, because of the doctors, maybe they asked not to give water. So the nurse didn't give water, so he got angry. So then he realized the anger is still there. So likewise, we need to face into those situations to realize what kind of unwholesome deeds and what kind of unwholesome thoughts or feelings still we have. So it's a good report, and that's what I'm that's what I want to tell. And so yeah, observe in that way, and observe all the time whatever happened, the what is the reason for those ignorant or those unwholesome deeds or thoughts.
Thank you, Manuel. I will actually move on to the next report because we've got one more report to get through. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. Attention moved to breath. In breath cooler, out breath warmer. Breath has become subtle now. Rise and fall of stomach noted. Thoughts arose and passed. Breath noted again. Upper body in slight rocking movement. Calmness in mind, watched emotions when these arrived, but as no storytelling took place, these passed. Attention returned to breath again, sat for 1 hour. Mindful walking. Walked in the monastery's field, established a path between two trees, stood at one end and noted body weight on both feet. Walked at a natural pace. Noted the feet movement, lifting and placing felt more, but moving of each foot through the air not recognized well. Felt the warmth of morning sun on face and hands. Also felt the light breeze with movement of walking. Feet movement slowed down slightly. It felt natural that mind stayed with feet movement and allowing thoughts to rise and pass. Sometimes hearing bird songs, feeling warmth and coolness of various experiences, and focus naturally returning to feet movement. Walked for an hour. Mindfulness during the day. The important thing noticed last week is how similar the life at home and at the retreat. The contrast of these being very different events have reduced. Walking and sitting sessions done at home and at the retreat. Yes, the frequency was higher at the monastery and at the energy of collective meditations felt more, but it's not as a unique experience anymore, as walking meditations were part of the daily routine that replaced the working in daily life. The noble silence experienced as was precious as things in mind noted more. For example, when unwholesome thoughts and emotions would arise, and when opposite feelings would arise, where the talking was paused while the mind was continuing. Various tasks assigned to each person as working meditation. Had cleaning one toilet as my work task, picked up the initial few thoughts of wanting something else as work task, the rebel inside the producing various excuses as to why it should be done by someone else. The part of mind that observed this initial drama was unmoved. Soon in the silent space, the better perspective arrived. No issues with the working meditation since, commonly done at home and now at retreat center. Others were cleaning the other toilets too. So what is the big issue? Noted now easily, the conceit can arise in mind. Piyabante Omanyo, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. End of report.
Interesting. Yeah, background thoughts are, you can see that the background thoughts or the clips, how those are affecting to the mind. Because those background thoughts, like, you know, the related to conceit, the ego, is running all the time. So whenever something happens, whenever something is noticed, that the whatever the thing is affecting to your ego, those background thoughts come, arise, and play a role. Play a role. So when, if you can realize it, that is the background thought, I don't need to. Usually when you practice more and more mindfulness, those background thoughts are usually comes close to the wholesome things. But it is not limited to wholesome things. Also unwholesome deeds, unwholesome thoughts will come. That is why you usually says that whenever, if you can, Lokuswami doesn't say, but you know, yes, usually I told many people that when you wake up early in the morning, if you can observe your thoughts, so the background thoughts are the one is coming first early in the morning. When you, as soon as you wake up, those background thoughts are wake up soon. So when you observe those thoughts, and if you can replace those thoughts with wholesome thoughts. For example, if you are taking, or if you are having any thoughts, something that happened yesterday as a negative thing, as a bad thing or the sad thing, then you can replace it with the some good thing. You know, for example, if the yesterday, if someone is blame you for something, then the, as soon as you wake up, then you realize it is the one come forward as a thought. So it is still making suffer you. So when you realize that, okay, that is the past. I don't need to worry about the past. And that has happened. And maybe it will not happen, or I will not do that mistake again. Instead, I am going to lead my life with something else or something like that. Or any thoughts, anything. Or I will not letting it happen or something like that. You can replace that thought, the negative thought, with the positive one. Early in the morning, I'm saying that 4 or 5 minutes or so. Then your whole day will usually program like that. Just do it and experience it. If there is any difference making you into your life, you can practice again and again. So just test it. Soon after you wake up, just observe your thoughts. And if there's any negative thoughts, the negative bias thoughts, or the background thoughts are related to negative thoughts, then you can replace it with the positive one in the early in the morning and see whether it is manipulate or whether it is helpful for programming the whole, the rest of the day. It might be. So it worked for me, but just check it. And if it works, you can practice it again and again. But in here, it's a good report actually, because the honest report, that the honesty is needed. If we need to practice mindfulness, if we need to go further in this path, we need to be honest. That honesty is in this report, and it is very helpful for going forward. And that is also, I should say, natural, because when someone asks you to do, wash the toilet, naturally that comes. You know, why me? And until you see the other people are also doing the same, so the why me question is naturally comes. So it is normal and it is natural. And as soon as you recognize it as a faulty thought or something, or negative thought, it's okay. And if you don't understand it, it's also okay. But no need to chase that thoughts, thinking, okay, that is a negative thought, I should not think like that way, and so on. The reflection is good. Do the reflection and then forget it. The forgiveness is should be with you to go forward in this path. The reflection also need to be only for the reflection. So just reflect it and forget it and go forward. So I hope that person will do that and a good report. Thank you.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini, and thank you very much to everybody who has contributed today with your reports, because these reports will not only help you, it will help all of us, because most of us have been in situations very similar to these, and we can all take something home from this. And that is the end of reports. I can open it out for a few minutes because we are nearly the end of time to anyone who has questions about today's session, or whether if it is your own practice, please raise your Zoom hand and we will let you unmute and ask your question. I can't see any raised hands today because it's now 10 o'clock and nearing the end of the time. I will hand over to Namantha to end the session.
Thank you, Sonali, and much minutes to you, and many minutes to Venerable Manu for conducting through the session and providing us with a lot of valued guidance and insight. So today, session is coming to an end, and I would like to associate all gained merits with Venerable Manu and wish that Manu's own practices will enhance and achieve that Manu will be able to achieve all the noble objectives in this life itself. Furthermore, I would like to mention with gratitude Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragi Muddhammaji Mahathero for his insightful request to realize this program, and we wish him all the best in his personal endeavors in the path of mindfulness. I would also like to thank Sonali for conducting the Q&A session today, and also all the wonderful organizers behind this program who work behind the scenes to keep it running at a high level of quality. I would also like to thank all of you who joined in today's session. Your participation makes the justification for the program, and I also like to thank all the teenagers who joined from the UK who early attended the Mindfulness for Teens program conducted in the UK. So I would like to invite you for the future sessions of this program as well. Please participate and please provide the reports so that you add value to your own path in mindfulness, and also you add value to others who are listening to the advice and to your reports. So with that, I would like to end the session now. I would like to invite you for the next week's session, which will be at the same time. That will be 1 p.m. Saturday, Sri Lankan time, wherever you are located geographically. So I hope you all have a happy and mindful week ahead and are able to practice based on the learnings in today's session and in previous sessions. You will have the details of past recordings on this program in the chat section. So we will meet you next week, and until that, have a wonderful and mindful time. Thank you very much. I will end the Zoom session now.